Paradise Lost opens with one of literature's most unforgettable scenes. Satan and his rebel angels cast into hell after their failed uprising against God. These fallen angels, though defeated, retain a terrible majesty. Satan stands like a tower above his followers, his face bearing deep scars of thunder, yet showing dauntless courage. Looking upon the millions condemned for following him, he is moved to tears before addressing them with stirring eloquence. Rather than accepting defeat, he proposes continuing their resistance through fraud or guile, targeting God's rumored new creation, a perfect world with beings equal to heaven's sons. His defiant declaration that peace is despaired, for who can think submission, war, then war, inspires his followers to clash their shields in rebellion. What makes this opening so compelling is Milton's portrayal of Satan as a complex, almost sympathetic character. Unlike earlier depictions of the devil as simply evil, Milton's Satan displays leadership, eloquence, and determination in cosmic defeat. This nuanced characterization has led many readers throughout history to find themselves reluctantly admiring Satan's refusal to surrender, even while recognizing the moral bankruptcy of his rebellion. Satan volunteers to explore the rumored new world, embarking on a perilous journey through chaos, a vast expanse where elements mix confusedly in eternal conflict. Standing on hell's brink, he spreads his wings and launches upward, soon plummeting through a vast vacuity before a fiery cloud hurls him aloft again. He struggles onward, half flying, half walking, swimming, wading, and creeping through formless chaos like a gryphon pursuing stolen gold. After deceiving the angel Uriel for directions, Satan reaches Earth and Paradise. Milton portrays Eden sensuously, a perfect garden with all trees of noblest kind growing in harmonious abundance, flowers of all hue, and crystalline streams. Within dwell Adam and Eve, created in God's image yet distinctly different. Adam possesses fair large front and eye sublime, suggesting wisdom and authority, while Eve has unadorned golden tresses falling in wanton ringlets. Their relationship balances loving companionship with clear hierarchy, Adam closer to God in reason, Eve to Adam in beauty. Through the Archangel Raphael, who visits to warn Adam and Eve about Satan, Milton presents a flashback of heaven's war. This conflict erupted when Lucifer rejected God's elevation of the Son to supreme authority. Gathering a third of heaven's angels, he led a massive rebellion, resulting in a three-day celestial war. Milton's description is fittingly epic. Hills torn from heaven's foundation hurled between opposing forces, with confusion heaps upon confusion threatening heaven with ruin overspread. On the third day, God sends his Son in the chariot of paternal deity to end the conflict. The Son drives the rebels to heaven's crystal wall, which opens to reveal chaos below. The rebels fall 9 days through chaos into hell, which receives and closes upon them. This celestial warfare establishes Satan's motivation while creating a parallel to humanity's potential fall through pride and disobedience. Raphael explains creation's purpose and warns Adam about the forbidden tree of knowledge, their one restriction in paradise, testing their obedience and love. Satan, observing Adam and Eve's happiness, tempts Eve when she's alone by taking a serpent's form. Finding Eve separated from Adam, Satan flatters her beauty and intelligence before leading her to the forbidden tree of knowledge. He claims the fruit gave him speech and intelligence, suggesting it could make her godlike. Eve, impressed and ambitious for higher knowledge, eats the fruit. Milton portrays Eve's temptation with psychological insight. Satan appeals to her vanity, curiosity, and desire for equality with Adam, exploiting her human qualities. After eating, Eve briefly considers keeping the knowledge to herself, but love compels her to share. Adam, recognizing Eve's transgression but unwilling to lose her, consciously joins her in disobedience. "With thee to die is to live," he declares, choosing love over obedience. the consequences are immediate. Instead of godlike wisdom, they experience shame at their nakedness, followed by blame. Their first quarrel erupts as Adam reproaches Eve for wandering alone. Eve defensively suggests Adam should have forbidden her departure. They spend fruitless hours in mutual accusation, neither accepting responsibility. God sends his son to confront the hiding transgressors. Judgment follows. Eve receives childbirth pains and submission to Adam, ending their equality. Adam faces a changed relationship with nature. The once cooperative earth now requires exhausting labor. Both receive mortality as their ultimate sentence. Yet, Milton shows God's mercy intertwined with justice. The provision of animal skins represents the first sacrifice, while God pronounces the first gospel promise that Eve's seed will eventually crush the serpent's head, embedding hope within punishment. The aftermath reveals divine discipline's transformative power. Eve contemplates but rejects suicide, recognizing it would nullify God's redemptive promise through her offspring. Adam finds meaning in their punishment. Eve's childbirth will bring new life's joy, while his toil provides purpose. Their reconciliation with each other precedes their reconciliation with God, as they kneel together in genuine repentance, their tears watering the ground beneath them. Before leaving paradise, Adam receives prophetic visions from the Archangel Michael showing humanity's future. These scenes span from Cain's murder of Abel through biblical history, the flood, Abraham's covenant, the Exodus, culminating in Christ's redemption. This panoramic view reveals both the consequences of the fall and God's redemptive plan. Adam witnesses how sin multiplies through generations, bringing violence and death, while God preserves a faithful remnant throughout history. The visions educate Adam about his actions' impact while offering hope through God's continued involvement with humanity. Adam is particularly moved by Christ's sacrifice, marveling that one man's obedience will redeem what his disobedience destroyed. Michael explains that Christ's perfect obedience in sacrificial death will satisfy divine justice, reconciling humans with God through faith. These visions transform Paradise Lost from a tragedy into what Milton called a fortunate fall. Humanity's disobedience ultimately leads to a greater good through Christ's redemption. In Paradise Regained, Milton creates an intimate psychological drama of Christ's wilderness temptation as a theological counterpoint to Adam and Eve's fall. Satan, recognizing Jesus as a threat to his power, subjects him to increasingly sophisticated temptations designed to derail his messianic mission. Unlike Eden's sensual temptation, these challenges are primarily intellectual and spiritual. Satan begins with physical needs, offering bread to the fasting Jesus, then escalates to worldly kingdoms, classical wisdom, and religious pride, challenging Jesus to prove his divinity by leaping from the temple pinnacle. Jesus defeats each temptation through scriptural knowledge, divine wisdom, and unwavering faith. Where Adam and Eve fell to a simple fruit temptation, Jesus withstands Satan's most complex theological and philosophical arguments. The poem ends with Satan's defeat and angels celebrating Jesus as the queller of Satan who reclaims paradise for humanity. Milton's genius lies in making this cosmic drama deeply personal, showing how our daily choices between pride and humility connect to humanity's oldest spiritual struggles. His epic reminds us that the greatest battles occur not in cosmic realms, but within the human heart.